Las Vegas, Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation, and this is News Talk AM 840 KXNT. All right. Enough is enough. So here's the kind of country that most of us want to live in. We want to live in a place where police don't murder people. I think that's fair. I think we agree on that. I think we want to live in a country that's free of racial prejudice, where there is no discrimination, where we look at people as individuals, as human beings. We are not obsessed about what category they are in. We are not concerned with their gender. We are not worried about their sexual orientation. People are people. We celebrate and rejoice in their accomplishments. We cheer one another on. We support one another. And if someone out there is being a douchebag, well, they get their comeuppance. I am done with this world that we're in today. This is not okay. We can take a stand against racism. We can take a stand against police brutality. We can take a stand for the Constitution without tearing this country apart and without, in the process of finding a cure for these ills, abolishing policing, erasing law and order, and creating a planet, a society, where race is the subject of every freaking conversation. Last week, you know, I mentioned that my kids really have grown up in a place where they're ignorant about racial issues. There was a movie we were watching. Oh, what was it? Titans? That's it. Remember the Titans. And my daughters were like, didn't understand why the one kid couldn't be friends with the other guy, right? They didn't get it. They don't even see color. I'm being honest here. And making the 24-hour mainstream media news cycle all about race. They are more aware of it now in a negative way than they were a month ago. And the objective here, in my view, is to celebrate our society, to be a society where we celebrate our individuality based on our individual contributions, our abilities, our strengths, perhaps even our weaknesses, where race, gender, and other forms of, I don't know, immutable characteristics are not part of the equation. And this, by the way, I will tell you, if you agree with what I am saying, we are in the silent majority. We're afraid to say it. We don't want to get out there, be the person that says, stuff that's going on, it's a little hinky. And what I'm finding is, because I live here in Vegas, and many of you listening do too, and you understand that what we have here is, you know, quietly, behind the, you know, when we're not in public and we're meeting as friends, Republicans, many Democrats are very nervous about this. We are looking at what is going on in Seattle. And make no mistake about it, this is not okay. This is not the society that we want to live in. Four square blocks taken over by the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. That's CHAZ for short, C-H-A-Z. The mayor, a total dingleberry, Jenny Durkin. Here's a tweet she sent out. Let me pull this up. Ah, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone is not a lawless wasteland of anarchist insurrection. It is a peaceful expression of our community's collective grief and their desire to build a better world. And she goes on to slam Trump. Look, lady, your job is to provide security to every person living in Seattle. Can you imagine? There's a large apartment building that's located right inside of the zone. And this apartment building, people, naturally, they live there. Imagine you left for work in the morning. This has been developing over the last week. You left for work in the morning one day. And you come back. And as you're walking up to your building, there is a barricade in place. Something that almost reminds you of literally of a war zone. Something that maybe you've seen on TV from Baghdad or Karachi or some other crazy place that, well, Pakistan maybe not, but certainly Afghanistan. And there you have these barricades and you've got these warlords standing there and they're masked because, of course, they're concerned about COVID-19. And they're carrying AK-47s. Actually, I haven't seen AKs, but I've seen AR-15s. These are, by the way, the guns that the left has been saying are evil and should be eliminated, should be confiscated. But no, these anarchists, Antifa guys, BLM guys, are standing there and they have taken over your neighborhood and you're coming home and you're walking to this. What a scary sight. And in some cases, people are asked to contribute, to pay protection money. You know, if you've watched The Sopranos, imagine being a business owner and suddenly you're having to pay a portion of your revenue to the gang that controls that particular neighborhood. We'll hear from one day to the next. No police. They took over the police precinct. The mayor, this Jenny Durkin cat, literally let them do that, told the police to stand down. And if you're living in that apartment, Bill, let me tell you, you're paying double protection money because I, call me crazy, but I thought the purpose of paying property taxes, income tax, sales tax, car license registration tax, just paid that yesterday, went to AAA here in Las Vegas up on Rainbow, moved here from California. It's one of my California cars. A bit of a higher registration here in Nevada. Was not pleasantly surprised. But you're paying all these taxes. That's protection money. You're literally paying that money to the state. And what do you expect back from it? If you're like me, you know, you're a realist and you don't expect very much. I kind of expect that, you know, if somebody tries to take over the block where my apartment is, the government's going to send some reinforcements. And days upon days are going by and nothing. Zero. Zilch. Nada. Now, I want to make a distinction here between saying Black Lives Matter, which, of course, is a statement that should be self-evidently true. And it is. The movement itself is a radical Marxist movement. It's a dangerous movement. Many of its members advocate for things that are not compatible with American values, that are not constitutionally compatible with this country. Combining what is happening there and having Antifa join the throng, you know, for some reason, Antifa really likes the Pacific Northwest. It might be the weather. Maybe if it's cloudy all the time, maybe that has something to do with a higher propensity for anarchy. It's so damp. So maybe these guys, I don't know. I love Nevada because I get the feeling that if BLM, Antifa, anarchists, whomever, decided to take over four square blocks, of the Las Vegas Strip. I'm pretty certain that would not go over as well as it did up in Seattle. But here's the thing. This is a great country. We are not fundamentally, systematically flawed. We have more good than bad. And we need to start talking about that, and we need to start standing up for it, because I believe that this is an issue, even across party lines, that we can and should agree on. Okay, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more on this. And I think one of the root causes of this that we can fix at home starting right now. So don't go anywhere. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation on News Talk AM 840. So you got hurt in an accident and now are wondering, do I call a lawyer and which one?
And it's Vegas, so there's some interesting choices.
The lawyer you hire says a lot about you and your case. If you think a lawyer looks goofy, chances are the insurance company does too.
At Sam & Ash, we're focused on your recovery, not on being the biggest celebrity characters in town.
Call us anytime at 702-820-1234. 820-1234.
Or visit samandash.com.
Because you deserve what's right. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation. Yes, we are making radio great again. Good morning, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's great to be with you. So I know I'm a little bit sharpened up on this. And I don't think that the cure to a problem is more divisiveness. I saw a video from the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone where one of the speakers was telling every white person in attendance to give $10 to a local African-American person that was in that new republic that they formed. Now, how do you feel about that? I don't care how you feel. What do you think about it? See, I think I wouldn't want my children to see that. I wouldn't want somebody to tell my kids that, because I don't want my kids to see race. Again, coming back to immutable characteristics being irrelevant and needing to be irrelevant and having our standing and how we are perceived in society be about what we can influence. Are you a good person? Are you an intelligent person? Do you work hard? What's your contribution? Do you have a sense of humor? And you know, one of the things that we really have stopped doing, and I challenge you to, now it's Sunday, I don't want to get too preachy here. Okay, I get it. This is this program is a church alternative. Because if you're either watching football, when the season's on, or you're at church, or you're listening to this program, those are three silos of people. And so I welcome those that do neither of the other two. Whatever happened to family dinner? You know, the hallmark of family dinner is that you sit down at a table and you can't get up until the end. Now, producer Robbie, he's laughing, he's giggling, and you know, because he comes from a big family. And so he no doubt remembers what this was all about. But why is that particular aspect of it so important? Because you can be there with a brother, a sister, maybe a family friend that is coming to visit a dinner, and you disagree with them on something, right? Something that they say is just outrageously dumb. Well, we are a society where we just immediately throw our hands up and go, hey, you're outrageously dumb. I don't think anything of your opinion other than it's ridiculous. And so I am storming out of the room. I am blocking you on Twitter. I am deleting your email address. I am going into my iPhone and putting you on the do not call, whatever. I mean, this is not constructive to having dialogue. And it comes from the fact that for many years now, the family dinner has gone away. Now, the family dinner, I'll tell you this, because I have three kids and I'm I understand why one of the reasons, even a close family like ours, a family dinner is a tough thing to do because it's all these dang activities. I almost wanted to swear. All these activities, right? How programmed are our kids? And these things oftentimes interfere with mealtime. And if there's any silver lining from this COVID thing, we all took a break from that and actually had to be home with one another. And I think one of the reasons, as I've contemplated why our country feels like it's on fire right now, I think that a lot of people that weren't used to having to coexist and talk to one another and listen to each other and patiently interact with one another suddenly were forced to do it. And not for 2 weeks, but for 2.5, 3 months. And people have lost their minds over this. But we need to get to a place where we're able to sit down, listen to somebody that we disagree with without losing our minds. And this is, to me, what is so worrisome about cancel culture. And cancel culture basically is if you say something or do something that is contrary to mainstream orthodoxy, you are effectively banished from civil society. You lose your job. You lose your friends. You lose your standing in the community. People pile on to you. Now, it used to be, look, you commit a crime. Let's say you're a respectable citizen. You go and you murder somebody. You go to prison for that because that's the appropriate punishment. Our ordered civil society has determined that that is how it goes down. So you go to jail, you do your time, and then depending on a community's philosophical views, some people are welcome back and some people are not. But I bring this up because right now, more than ever, people are literally being eliminated, wiped out, kicked out of jobs. There was a professor at UCLA recently in Los Angeles, and he didn't want to give great accommodations to African-American students because he's like, look, I mean, we already have been shut down over COVID. You know, we're doing everything online. I mean, I'd be flexible as far as timing, but grades are grades. And he got drummed out of the university. This guy's an avowed progressive. It's not like this was some guy wearing a MAGA hat who showed up at UCLA, which I think would be probably some kind of like Darwinistic suicide move. But at any rate, no, did bananas. Sam Rogowski here on News Talk AM 840 KXNT, and you're listening to Sam Nation. Let me tell you, you do not want to live in a society that can just wipe you out. You lose your job, you lose everything, you lose your home because you say one thing that's wrong. And you also do not want to live in a society where everyone is falling over themselves to project their virtue and their social justice in every stream. I just saw this great tweet. I'll illustrate this. You guys know who Taylor Swift is. Producer Robbie is nodding his head. He is a Taylor Swift fan, clearly. So Taylor Swift, 2 days ago, tweeted out that as a Tennessean, it makes me sick that there are monuments standing in our state that celebrate racist historical figures who did evil things. And you know, this is a big story this week because people are tearing down statues. Now, I'll tell you what I think about this because I think this is really important. On one hand, I don't understand why in this country we celebrate the enemy. Now, I'm a latecomer to all this. My parents immigrated here from Czech Republic, or what was Czechoslovakia in 1977. So I have no connection to this history personally. I'm just a kid that grew up here to immigrant parents and learned a little bit about U.S. history because back when I went to school, they still taught things like that. And the way I see it is you have the Civil War, which the Southerners still call the War of Northern Aggression. But hey, the North won the war. And, you know, you don't get to keep all your statues. That's the historical reasons for why it happened, because that was a very difficult time and there was a healing process and they didn't want to come in and the North didn't want to come in and just eradicate everything and further piss people off. There was reconciliation and accommodation. But I'm wondering where Taylor Swift and all these people that are all over social media and the news and projecting all of their outrage over this, if they've lived there the whole, how are they outraged just barely now? How is this news today? They're just saying all of this because they're paying homage, paying tribute to the political correctness gods. And that, to me, is the cheapest, basest form of currency out there. This matters because it pays, I'll tell you, be a decent human being day to day. Be a quietly good person. Don't be a racist. Simple. Love your fellow man. Listen to people that have opposing opinions. I challenge you to develop relationships with people that you might disagree with. If you know somebody, I'll give you an example. If you know somebody who sits all day, right now they're not working, let's say, they're still working from home, and they're all over social media, you know, pounding away on the keyboard, talking about systematic racism, which I don't think they even know how to define, but nonetheless, systematic racism. And then they see somebody walking down the street that's wearing a Trump hat and are willing to attack that person because they're wearing that Trump hat. And they have an explanation for it, right? Because they're attacking somebody that is wearing a symbol of hate. See, there's levels of messed up there that is not okay. It's a different thing, I guess, with a Confederate flag. It's just we're getting to a place where we're taking these things and we're taking it to the absurd levels. Let's take it down a notch, all of us, and we can do this. And it starts in our home and it starts with family dinner. I'm telling you. If we can all sit around the table every night, have dinner as families, as friends, and be forced for a short period of time to tolerate one another and tolerate different dissenting opinions. I mean, it is a step forward. And you do that with your kids and you start that early on, and it creates a way of approaching problems that will make this country better and stronger. All right, there was an invasion in Europe. You probably missed it. It was not front page news with everything else going on. I'll tell you about it when we come back. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation on News Talk, AM 840 KXNT.
You got hurt in an accident. You hired a lawyer. Now they're ignoring you.
Don't wait on your no-call, no-show lawyer.
We're Sam and Ash. Upgrade to us today.
We listen to you and are here for you.
And we will always return your calls.
But you do have to call us first. Do it now. Don't delay.
We're available day or night, 702-820-1234. 820-1234. Or visit samandash.com.
Sam and Ash, because you deserve what's right. Sam Rejofsky here, and welcome back to Sam Nation here on KXNT AM 840. And look... this was a funny news story that I enjoyed, and I want to share it with you. my parents are, like I mentioned last segment, from the Czech Republic, and so this is a this actually happened in May. Poland invaded the Czech Republic. Now, Poland and the Czech Republic share a fairly long border. Poland being to the northeast of the Czech Republic. At any rate, The the army from Poland was dispatched to the border to close, to seal off Poland. When coronavirus broke out, they wanted to basically close off the country. So they sent the army out, and in a small area where the border is not clearly marked, the Poles took over a small Czech town. And they barred the Czech people from going to their own church, which I guess caused a bit of a stir. This is where we cue all the good Polish jokes. It was an embarrassing matter. So the Czech embassy in Warsaw, which is the capital of Poland, had to knock on the door of the foreign ministry and say, hey, guys, would you mind withdrawing from our sovereign territory? Which, of course, the red-faced Poles quickly did. The town, what caught my eye, the town that was affected, and a town is really a generous word. It is the town of Vino, which means wine in Czech. So there is the Poles try to take the wine is the point of the story. And we're not successful. All right. I got to say, this week has me tired. I saw this thing I wanted to share with you. Let me find it. Where is this? My stack here. I'm getting to it. I've got it somewhere else. Hold on a second. Yeah, this is the problem with live radio. I'm getting there. Oh, so, you know, we were talking about the Seattle protests, and they've created this exclusion zone, right? And they've got armed guards posted around it. And they're creating a socialist utopia, or so they, you know, so they're planning, or they're saying that they're going to do. But they've posted a list of supplies that are needed, because, of course, the word autonomous doesn't necessarily mean what it means to these folks. So they're not exactly fully independent. And here's their supplies list. This was hilarious. So they need clothes. Cigarettes. They also, somebody in red marker added lighters. So I guess they also need lighters. Lanterns, flashlights, headlamps. Portable solar chargers, because you've got to have your environmentalism be good for the environment as well. Hold on a second. Gatorade. They want Gatorade. Okay. Backpacks, reusable bags, tents. They need a track phone. Minutes card. What the heck? Baby lotion, shoes, bedding, zip ties. This is getting weird. But my favorite one is they say they had this thing. The second on the list was ice. They need ice. And then in parentheses, they have the good kind. I've been asking around what the hell that means. We need ice, but please the good kind, not the kind that's already melted. We don't want that kind. Friends, this is socialism in a nutshell. It sounds fantastic until you run out of stuff. Trust me on this. My parents saw it firsthand. I was in Czechoslovakia, what was then Czechoslovakia, a month after the communist regime collapsed. I can tell you what a thing it is to have money but have nothing on the shelves. To have an economy that is not driven by consumer demand, but rather by what the people at the top dictate is needed. It doesn't work. And the problem with kids right now, I'm turning 40 this month. I feel it's a big moment for me. And so I'm starting to sound like that guy, you know, that lived on my block when I was growing up, who was the old guy. Yelling about kids. So I'm telling you, these kids, the problem is they go to school and they learn bupkis nothing. And they have no idea about this. And if they are learning, they're learning from people who are progressive freaks who have a terrible agenda. I started my college career at UCI and I knew enough about European history to argue with my professors. I mean, and I felt terrible because my fellow students who went to class with me, they ate it up. They didn't know any better. They hadn't picked up a book. You know, they had maybe a little bit of, what is it called? Social studies. You know, when did history start being social studies. That was right. That was the first step toward getting to where we are today. And so what they're doing over there in Seattle, this is fantastic. They are putting together this little commune, but they can't produce anything. So they can't really be independent. This is kind of like when you send your kid starts college and begins giving you the talk, right? Mom, dad, don't tell me what to do. I don't live at home. And I'm an adult. My son's 12. So we haven't had that delightful conversation, but I'm going to tell you what I would say. I'd say, well, you are an adult. Not when you turn 18, but when you're fully independent. Your independence is earned. It's not an automatic status that you can declare. It's something you work toward. And so I think this is fantastic. So what's my advice for Trump? Everybody's been asked, what should we do? You got to understand Trump. I am the Trump explainer. Trump is saying to everybody, I'm going in there, I'm going to smash it, right? Because that's his rhetoric, and that's, you know, he's tweeting out the, you know, phrase law and order, alternating between caps and lowercase multiple times every day. He is sending little bat signals out to a certain portion of the MAGA crowd that is what he is intending to do. But the wise move, and incidentally, I think the move that he ultimately is going for, because what Trump says and what he does are two very different things, if you haven't noticed already. Let this thing play out. The mayor thinks it's fine. Seattle tweeted out yesterday that it's nothing to see here. It's all peaceful. It's all lovely. No problems here. Let it play out. Turn this into the best anti-Biden campaign ad money can buy. You want this right here? This is what left-wing Democrats do. This is what the country will look like if created by and executed on by these crazy radicals. It's alienating reasonable Democrats. It's alienating centrists. Biden tweeted, not tweeted. He did a video in his basement this week. He said that the death of George Floyd has been more significant than the assassination of Martin Luther King. Now, just when you think that Trump is crazy, they have to. It's like Biden sees him and then raises it to the next level. We will talk more next week about the state of the election when we get out of this insanity. But this election, I will tell you, folks, is fascinating. I am so, as a political observer, if you enjoy politics at all, get the popcorn ready. Get the M&Ms out, the Skittles, whatever it is. Open a beer and sit back. The next few months are going to be fantastic. By the way, follow this program. We're on every day, every weekday. No, what am I? Come on, Sam. We're on every Sunday. Oh, it's been a long weekend. Every Sunday, 10 a.m. There's a podcast. We put the show out immediately after we broadcast on iTunes, on Spotify. Get the podcast. We're going to do more with the website. I'll get everything going here. But just this is the place to be, because when I was on the radio back in Los Angeles a couple years ago, and I had a show on one of the major stations down there, a weekly show, weeknight show. And we predicted a lot of things on that program that came to fruition in 2016. And a lot of things that came into being in 2018. So this here, trust me, this is, I know what I'm talking about. I know these people like the back of my hand. So check it out. Sam Nation is the name of the podcast. And that way, even if you miss us on air, you can get it when you're in the comfort of your car, home. I understand you can even tell Alexa, play Sam Nation, and she'll do it. although she does it with great resentment, because I am not on the same page with Jeff Bozo. All right. Yeah, we'll take a break now. We'll just take a break right now. We'll leave it at that. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation on News Talk AM 840 KXNT Las Vegas. So you got hurt in an accident and don't want to hire a lawyer.
And that's exactly what the insurance company wants.
They don't want you represented by Sam and Ash. They'd rather you hire a bad lawyer or no lawyer at all.
That's because insurance companies work hard to pay you as little as possible and hope you don't fight back.
Call us day or night at 702-820-1234.
820-1234. Or visit samandash.com.
Sam and Ash, because you deserve what's right. Hi, Sam Rojofsky here, News Talk, AM 840 KXNT. So I have been following now this defund the police movement because I think it's becoming a movement. It's definitely a slogan. And the best part about it is nobody knows what it means. There's a small section of people that really actually believe that it means what it says. And that is that you take money away from police departments, you disband police departments, and you replace them with social workers. You replace them with teachers and other, you know, community organizers. Now, most people are apologists for this. So they're out there, they're saying, well, it doesn't literally mean defund the police. It means, you know, making some changes and retraining officers. They're pointing to the town in Camden, New Jersey, where they had a terrible police department, high crime. What did they do? They kicked everyone off the force. You've heard about this. Kicked everyone off the force, and they rehired a number of officers, but it was like they went through an entirely new screening protocol. They did extensive psychological testing to determine if people were the right fit for the new department. And they created something that is, by all accounts, phenomenal. And it could very well be a model for how the rest of America should face this problem. And I think, well, we were talking about it here in the studio, and I thought it was a little issue with defund the police. You know, part of the problem here from the very beginning with police officers, and I'll say this generally speaking from my experience investigating these cases as an attorney, very few, if any, police brutality cases from high-end departments. Now, high-end, what do I mean by that? I mean small departments, generally speaking, that pay their officers very well, that are highly accountable to the local community. And that, let me give you a concrete example. I know this from California. You've got a huge disparity in policing in Southern California. You have, for example, the Beverly Hills Police Department. Very small, elite group of officers. The training, I can tell you this. I have one of my best friends is an officer there. The amount of interviewing that went into him getting that job, unreal. It pays well. My friend has a master's degree from a university in Spain. He has a 4-year degree from a top university in Southern California, Chapman University. He is a very qualified, bright, kind, caring human being. That is what they want. That is who they're hiring. And they've got a local community, right? The citizens that live in Beverly Hills who are very keen on their officers being good officers. They don't want their officers doing crazy things that will cost their city money in lawsuits and such and draw negative attention to their city. And they also at the same time want to be safe. I go back to this idea that we need to be safe. That is part of the compact. We pay our taxes. We demand safety and security. We want our property to not be vandalized. We want to be able to go to the store at night and come back from that unscathed. Very basic things. And a good police department will do that. So turning this up on its head, if you compare that now with a larger department that's a hot mess, for example, Los Angeles County Sheriffs. Now, they actually overlap, right, geographically, although L.A. County is a huge county, has a lot of officers. And again, I'm going to say this is a general rule. The officers are paid quite a bit less starting salary. It's a bigger department. There's less accountability. And the result of it is, and I've investigated these cases, some shocking police brutality incidents arise. What if we looked at this in a little bit of a different way? What if we said the answer really isn't to defund the police? That maybe police need more funding with a more narrow focused purpose, which is investigating violent crime. Again, the huge emphasis right now is on drug crimes. And by the way, do you know why? Because it's extremely lucrative for police departments. It's a money-making operation. They're right, under forfeiture laws, departments keep a lot of their found loot. So they do a big drug bust. They find $100,000 sitting there in a duffel bag. And the local apartment that executes on that warrant, and it's their kill, so to speak, they get to keep that money. It's a perverse incentive to allocate ridiculous amount of resources toward drugs. And then many of these departments have murders that go unsolved. Just isn't any money in it. There are systemic flaws that can be addressed through simple legislative changes. And you should combine it, in my view, with hiring. You should require 4-year degrees. We should go through extensive interviews to get the right officers. But the problem right now, I'll tell you, my opinion is that the entire movement right now, this insane, shrill, violent, oftentimes, outcry against the police, hatred directed toward police officers, is a problem. It will drive away good cops. The ones that are out for blood, they're more out for blood. But the good officers, they're taking a look left, they're taking a look right, they're looking. In many cases, they've been abandoned by their political leaders. And they're going to start retiring. There's news this week out of New York City that hundreds of officers are planning their exit. I don't blame them. Who wants to show up to work for and risk their life for a thankless job? Where you have the mayor's wife, the mayor of New York, his wife called the idea of a city without police nirvana. Her words, not mine. If I was a good New York PD officer, I would be disgusted. I would feel betrayed. And I'd be very worried that this is not the place I want to be laying my life down for. And so I think, I know, it's just, it's simple. We want to retain good officers. So if you've got a bad department, and maybe this is what they're planning to do with Minneapolis. I don't know if necessarily Minneapolis is a bad department. What happened with that officer was disgusting, criminal. Maybe it's a problem throughout the department. So the idea of disbanding the department and starting over, and training new officers, hiring new officers, rehiring the good ones, but retraining them and putting together a much stronger, more community-focused force is really important. But the answer is not less police. Do you feel like that in your town, your city where you live? Because here in Vegas, my office is downtown. I got to tell you, very happy that the police were there. And this week, we had a a naked homeless person who climbed up on our balcony. He was definitely under the influence of something chemical. He stripped down all of his clothes and began throwing furniture off of our balcony, and that was quite a sight. I have to tell you, very pleased that NHP and LVMPD showed up to rectify that situation. So, no, I am into accountability. I believe in the Constitution. I believe that we have rights. We need to live in a civil and ordered society, and private property rights matter as well. So it's really a function of compromise. All right, like that, an hour of radio excellence has evaporated into thin air. Friends, find us on iTunes and on Spotify. Sam Nation is the show. Sam Rogowski here. Thank you for joining us. See you next week.